accession number 6820, rule number 8.
They caused a bit of excitement for a while when we saw their markings. We had had no food, we had had no hot drinks. All the QM's equipment was on the far side of the road, and it was death to attempt to pass. The position was completely hopeless, but there we were. We were ready for a go, whatever happened, and we were absolutely flabbergasted when the news came round that the German commander had sent in one of our colour sergeants on a light tank to say that, to give us the opportunity of surrendering by 6 o'clock that evening, which would be the evening of the 12th of June, and be treated as prisoners of war or to be smashed to bits by shell fire after 6 o'clock. That was the offer, and although we didn't know who we were fighting at that time, it came from Rommel, a most humane individual, and was genuine. This was put to us by our commanding officer, by our company commander, Major Murray, and he came round and told us. I said to him, what? He said that the officers had decided that they would make a break. The offer was to be, first of all, a chance of surrendering. Secondly, we could make an epic fight of it and go down fighting, because the regiment had never been known to surrender as such en bloc. Or, finally, the officers would lead small parties, if they could get the small parties together. They were willing to make an attempt to reach the coast. So I said there and then to the company commander, Major Murray, G.P. Murray, what are the chances of reaching the coast alive, sir? None whatsoever, Mackenzie, he said. There it was, the men heard it, and I said, well, now, I advise you to go and surrender with the party, the rest of them. I can't find it in my heart to surrender, I'm going to take to the corn. I didn't think, as the company commander thought, I didn't think there was a possible chance of me reaching the sea alive. I was the second man out of the perimeter, the first man being Innes, the captain quartermaster. And I followed them out into the corn. We crawled as far as a roadside cross, Calvaire, they call it in France. And I will really never forget the feeling that came over me when I looked at that particular Calvaire and felt that there was a chance. And I made a vow that I managed to keep several years later that I would come back. And from then on, we moved into the corn, deeper into the corn, with several lines of machine gun bullets whipping across our position every now and again. But none of us were wounded there. We crawled for quite a long way, several hundred yards in the centre, and then it waited until it got completely dark. Now, Jerry had put two lines of encircling tanks in the road system that led by and through these two positions. And the tanks were stationed, the motorcycles, some of them with a rider, a gunner and a gun on them, a machine gun on them, were connecting links between the tanks, supposed to be impregnable, but obviously it wasn't, because we managed to get through after crawling pretty well half the night. We got through the position and onto the cliffs just west of St. Valery. We moved then down to the break in the cliffs, and we found a cave in the chalk. Quite a big cave, but boulders strewn, chunks of chalk had come off. There was a party, I suppose, about 14 or 15 officers and men in the main, officers and NCOs like myself. And we started sending signals. We'd got the signal officer, Lieutenant Dupree, and using the CO's lamp, he signaled to the ships which were drifting offshore in the mist. We could just see the shapes. Well, we signalled out a message that we were units of the 51st Division and wanted assistance. Now, we didn't even have a flash from the ships, but obviously it wasn't a wise thing. Wouldn't have been a wise thing for them to have done, to show their position by light. We smoked, and we discussed the chances of being rescued, of reaching Blighty, and the commanding officer, who suddenly had recovered his health and strength, said, "Well, we've got the nucleus of the new second CFOS," and we all felt very happy and thought that this was going to be the next thing that's going to happen to us, and that everything was going to be rosy. And of course we had a smoke, and we coiled up in the chalk boulders. The commanding officers turned round to John Keel, the RSM, and said, "We better post a sentry," which was a silly thing to do, because a sentry, having been posted, was a giveaway to anybody passing the entrance of the cave. And that's what happened. We went off to sleep, and we were awakened the following morning by a rattle of shots outside and shots coming in the cave, and guttural voices outside, and eventually a stick grenade came in, whizzing in, and carved lumps off the chalk cave. So the commanding officer gave the order to surrender. Now, once again, I must here mention Major Dodds of the Kensingtons. He was with us. We'd picked him up somewhere along the road, and his story was that he'd gone out, he'd swum out to try and reach one of the destroyers with a message for aid from General Fortune, who was commander of our 51st Division and who had been my own commanding officer in Aldershot and Belfast, no, Aldershot and Dover, long, long ago. Well, that was it. The next thing that happened, we had surrendered. We marched along the beach and searched for weapons and ammunition, given treatment to our wounded, and settled down there to watch the Germans knock hell out of the first ship which came our way to rescue us. We were absolutely speechless as we gazed across the channel, beyond which lay everything that we loved. And having decided that we'd done our best, moved off then for a long period of captivity.
At what stage did you realise that the battle for France had been lost?
When they captured me.
Not until then.
Well, you see, you're an individual all the time, aren't you? You're part of a vast organisation, but you're still an individual, and it depends on your own nature as well, whether you're lost. Some people are lost at the start. There's a chap blew his toe off on the boat going over.
Deliberately?
Yeah, of course. A cop or two, reservists. Yeah.